It's always a great thrill to me to hear the witness and the testimony of President Kimball and President Tanner, how we love them and appreciate their great service. Each year, as I have the opportunity of planting a few seeds in fertile soil, watching it grow, and then this time of the year of going out and watching the bounteous harvest, I'm always amazed at how one little kernel has produced a full ear, 100-fold, over that which has been put in the earth some months before. I think the Savior appreciated this process, the growth cycle the Lord has given to us. For we find lesson after lesson in his parables teaching about the blessings the Lord has given to us in this marvelous law of the harvest. We find parables of the sower, the seed growing by itself, the fig tree, and so on. Is it any wonder that we found his disciples teaching after his earthly ministry, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." As I've gone throughout the church in the last 6 months, I've been listening to the voices of frustrated parents, listening to the urgent appeals of youth, listening to the small voice of a child. My ears have been filled with concerns. These concerns have all been centered on what has happened to the basic, secure, fun-loving family, traditional family, that has been in existence since the establishment of man and woman on earth. Suddenly we find great forces at work to relegate it to a minority position. Recorded history is clear on what occurs if we ever allow that to happen. In the book of Jacob we read, "Behold, ye have done iniquities far more than our brethren, the Lamanites, our brethren. Ye have broken the hearts of your tender wives and lost confidence of your children because of your bad examples before them. And the sobbings of their heart ascend up to God against you. And because of the strictness of the word of God which cometh down against you, many hearts die, pierced with deep wounds." Now, unless we would turn from the course all too many of us are pursuing, we too would stand the same judgments of God. Contemplating these words of the Scripture, I had a terrifying thought one morning. What if the clock would be turned back 15 years in my life, and suddenly I found myself in a 1980 environment with two teenagers and a small child again? The thought terrified me. I was so thunderstruck that ideas started to flash through my mind. What would I do? How would I meet the challenge and cope with the problems that the family is having today? Four areas flashed through my mind that would require renewed determination and effort. First, in family finances. To provide for a family in this day and age would be more difficult. Employment is not as secure. Change is occurring at an ever rapid rate. It would be much more of a problem to maintain our standard of living in the inflation we know today. Housing, utilities, food, clothing, the gas-guzzling automobile are all taking a larger share of our family income. The pressures on family finances could increase family tensions. Coping with this new problem would be a major challenge. Then suddenly I heard a comforting voice saying, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I suddenly realized that the church has been preparing me for a time of stress and strain for many years. Today, a long-range family financial plan is clearly needed in every family if they're to have the blessings of missions and a good education. It would have to be carefully worked out in every detail. The avoidance of debt, fundamental. The living within my income, essential. Much thought must be given to keeping my family finances properly balanced. Expenditures must be challenged. Do I really need a giant-sized home with the same giant-sized monthly mortgage payments? Is a second car required? Can my family-centered activities replace costly commercial entertainment? Can vacations be made exciting at home? Having a one-year supply moved up in the family priority list, it must be considered again, and how it is obtained, rethought, and evaluated. Can our own labors produce more in making our own clothes, increasing our garden yields, preserving our own food? How can I wisely save so that inflation will not rob me from it? Is my career path secure and able to keep pace with family needs during this ever-changing decade of the 80s? Yes, assuming the responsibilities of caring temporally for family requirements would require much more thought, preparation, planning in the environment we live in today. Second, family organization. I heard a young mother in a testimony meeting not so long ago bear witness to what the Lord had entrusted to her. She had said how disappointed she was in the new Sunday meeting program, for as a primary worker, it took from her the opportunity of attending Relief Society and Sunday school. She had almost determined to fall into inactivity rather than accept the change. One day, while brooding over this situation, the light of inspiration touched her heart, and she could see what the church was trying to do. It was not the loss of attendance of these two great meetings she was to be concerned with, but a new glorious opportunity of having prime time on the Lord's Day to be with her husband and children, to fulfill the greatest responsibility the Lord had entrusted to them, the responsibility of teaching and training her own. Now, after much prayer, study, and planning with her husband, Sunday has become the most special day of the week. If I were again cast in the role of having a young family around me, I think I would try to make these times that the church has set aside for family time more strictly followed and more properly organized to be more productive. With the change in the Sunday program, I believe I would alter our family format and our special weekly times together. Since most children in the world will never have the privilege of being taught and trained in a traditional family home, I would be determined to be certain that my children would have that privilege. I would want them to have the best possible experience in one that really worked. Eternal families just don't happen. To enjoy this greatest of all gifts, it must be earned by our accomplishments in mortality. I would be certain that sufficient time was provided each week for a family executive committee meeting to plan family strategy. The executive committee, comprised of a husband and wife, would meet together to fully communicate, discuss and plan, and prepare for our leadership roles in the family organization. I would make the family home evening on Monday night a family council meeting where children were taught by parents to prepare for their roles as family members and prospective parents. Family home evening would begin with a dinner together, followed by the council meeting, where such topics were discussed and training given in temple preparation, missionary preparation, home management, career development, education, acquisition and care of real and personal property, family planning calendars, and so on. The evening could then be climaxed with a special dessert and time for parents to spend with each child. Saturdays would become a special activity day, divided into two parts. First, the time to teach children the blessings of work, how to care and improve the home, the yard, the garden, the field. And second, a time for family activity, to build a family heritage of things we enjoyed doing together. Sunday would become the most special day in the week. Careful preparation would precede the three-hour worship service. At the chapel, families would arrive at church rested, relaxed, and spiritually prepared to enjoy their meetings together. The balance of the day would be spent in a time of spiritual uplift. We would dress to fit the occasion, boys in something somewhat better than Levi's in a t-shirt, and girls in comfortable, decent dresses, not in shorts or slacks. It would be a time for our family to study the scriptures together, to do genealogical research, prepare personal journals, family histories, letter writing, missionary contacts, and visits to extended family, friends, and shut-ins. Third, in filling church positions, I would prepare, study, meditate, and pray more than ever before for guidance in the church positions I was called to. I would want my service to measure up to the standard the Lord would expect of me. I would be certain I was so well prepared for that assignment that my inefficiencies would not rob from me precious family time. I would understand more fully the Lord's system of sharing responsibilities with counselors, high counselors, quorum officers, home teachers, and fathers. I would understand more fully the concept that one man can never outperform an effective team. And fourth, community involvement. I would have a greater involvement in what was going on in the schools my children were attending and the communities in which they lived. I would lend my support to the majority of my good neighbors to be certain that where I was living, children were having the privilege of growing up in a clean, safe, wholesome, happy community. I would not allow small, misguided, self-benefiting groups to rob from us the blessing of having such a family community. I pray that our harvest will be blessed with the fullness the Lord has promised us, because we are living worthy of meriting those blessings. May our families be the traditional type, where leadership is provided by two worthy parents who welcome children in their homes to be loved, taught, and trained in the ways prescribed by the Lord. I declare to you my witness that the Lord is strong and mighty. He is the King of glory. He lives to lead and guide and bless us with His love. May we be blessed with the faith to follow the way that He leads towards life eternal. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.